Good morning, church.
Good morning.
A very warm welcome to you all this morning to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and I am so delighted to welcome our brothers and sisters from the St. Mary's Episcopal Church. The minister, my colleague, Reverend Cathy, is here and will be running this service together. I would also wish on behalf of our congregation and parish to welcome all other persons who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time or doing so after a long while. After the service here, we will process to the war memorial where we will complete our duty of remembrance. Let us take a moment of silence and prepare ourselves for worship. Let us worship God. Our first hymn 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, we come before you this morning with hearts full of gratitude for your boundless love and unchanging faithfulness. On this Remembrance Sunday, we acknowledge your presence among us as the source of our strength, our unity, and our hope. You are the God of all comfort who carries us through every season. As we reflect on the sacrifices made for our freedom, we are reminded of the greatest sacrifice, your Son Jesus Christ, who laid down his life for our salvation. Draw near to us now, Lord, as we seek to worship you in spirit and in truth. Let your spirit move in our hearts, uniting us across traditions and leading us into deeper fellowship with you and one another. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before you, acknowledging our sins and shortcomings. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we have failed to live in unity with our brothers and sisters, allowing pride and division to take root in our hearts. Forgive us for our complacency, for the moments when we have chosen comfort over sacrifice, and for the ways we have neglected your call to serve others. Lord, we confess that we often forget the cost of our freedom, both in earthly and eternal terms. We fail to honor those who have given their lives, and we fail to fully appreciate the gift of grace that came through Christ's sacrifice. We have not always lived lives worthy of the price paid for our redemption. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew right spirits within us. Help us to turn from sin and walk in your ways. Fill us with the courage to live sacrificially, the humility to seek unity, and the hope that sustains us in times of trial. We pray through Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our call to remembrance. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. when you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow, we give our today. Please be seated.
Is there any children who would like to come down to the front? I know we've got children in the pews there, so you could just stay there. It'll be a bit of a rammy down here. Down you come. There we are. There's our usual wee crew coming down. So good morning to you all on this special service. And good morning to all our children from our uniformed clubs. It's so great to see you all here today. So I'd like to start by asking you all a question. And this includes the adults too. And I think I know what the answer is going to be. Do you like sweeties? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the answer would have been no. Oh, well, okay. So, there's all different kinds of sweeties, isn't there? We've all got our favourite ones, whether it's chocolate buttons or whether it's Mars bars, Maltesers. I do like Maltesers. Chocolate buttons, yeah.
Oh,
licorice. Oh, now that's a grown-up thing. Now, do any of you like these?
Yeah.
Jelly babies.
Yummy.
They're a wee bitty sweet though, but they're nice. Well, I bet you're wondering, what's jelly babies got to do with the church talk? Hey, well, there's a little story about jelly babies that I'm going to tell you. So, jelly babies, after the First World War, were known as peace babies. That sounds lovely, peace babies. And they were called peace babies, and each colour of a jelly baby represented a country or a continent that was part of the First World War. But during the Second World War, what happened? Everything was rationed, wasn't it? So it was important to get milk and good food, good protein to build you all up. So there was not really any need for sweeties, and plus the sugar was being rationed too. So, what happened, do you think? Oh, the company went bust, the factory closed, and there was no more peace babies or sweeties like this. But after the war, there was a Christian man who bought over the company, and he decided he was going to start up the jelly babies again, but he wanted to make each one different. Now, have you ever really looked at a jelly baby before you bite its head off? Yeah? Do you like to lick the powder off first, or bite its legs off, or bite its head? But have you ever really looked closely at the jelly babies? Have you noticed anything about the jelly babies? No. Well, you'll get the chance to do this later at Sunday Club, and also at coffee as well, adults, so you're not left out. So, we're going to put a wee picture of jelly babies up. So look at them all. If you look at each jelly baby, and I'll tell you a wee bit about them. The black jelly baby, if you can see, it's got a heart on it. And that represents sin. The sin that we have in our hearts, the sins of the world. So that's what that represents. And then we have the green one, which is crying. Do you see the little jelly baby crying? Yeah. And that's because of all the sadness in the world and the sadness that God feels because of all the sad things and bad things that are going on in the world. And then if you look at the red one, right at the end there, it's got a bee on it. And that represents Jesus dying on the cross, shed his blood. He was crucified on the cross for our sins and because he loves us. And next we have the pink one, and that's like a wee baby, a jelly baby baby. And that represents new life. So that when we become a Christian and we follow Jesus, it's like being born again. Things are different. Your life is different when you follow Jesus. And then we have the yellow one. And you notice the yellow one's got a little string of pearls around there, or a little necklace. And that represents all the gifts that God has given us, each and every one of us. He's given us special gifts. You might not know it, but he has. He's given every one of us special gifts. And also to look forward to the gifts that we can have and the treasures in heaven. And finally, the orange one. Now, if you look closely, it's got a little bag. It's quite cool, isn't it? A little satchel, a little bum bag. And that's to represent that life is like a journey, isn't it? It's a long journey. But we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared for when Jesus comes back. We don't know when it is or where it is, but we have to be prepared for the return of Jesus. So that's the story of jelly babies. It's quite exciting, isn't it? It's so exciting to think that even a wee packet of sweeties can remind us of the gospel and God's love for us. I know you're desperate to eat the jelly babies, aren't you? In fact, I'm kind of sick eating them because I was trying to take photographs and I was licking that powder off. And then, well, I had to eat it afterwards, so I was feeling a bit sickish after it. So it's amazing to think that a little packet of sweeties can remind us of the gospel and can remind us that Jesus loves us. Can we just have a wee prayer together? Yeah. Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for sweeties. We thank you for the jelly babies, and thank you that it reminds us of all the things about the gospel and being a Christian, Lord. And we just thank you that they were called peace babies, and perhaps we should think of them as peace babies now, Lord, as we pray for peace within ourselves and the world in general. Ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the next song we're going to sing is Lord, the Light of Your Love.
The first reading is from Leviticus chapter 16, beginning at the 11th verse. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin, offering to make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense, and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of the covenant law, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel.
The New Testament reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands, that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Amen. Thanks be to God for this reading of his holy word. We now continue our act of remembrance by singing hymn 159, Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before your word, we ask for your spirit to move among us. Open our eyes to see your truth. Open our ears to hear your voice. And open our hearts to receive your message through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. And how nice to see so many people in church today. How I wish I had this number every Sunday. It is a beautiful sight here in Newport-on-Tay Church this morning, isn't it? Presbyterians and Episcopalians gathered under one roof. I don't know about you, but this gathering reminds me of how we handle the same prayers just a little differently. You know, we might stand when others sit or say debts instead of trespasses or vice versa. Yet here we are, proving that while tradition might differ, the heart of our worship remains the same. We are all here for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, when we join across denominations, we are reminded of something much greater than our minor differences. We remember those who sacrificed for us, the soldiers, the unsung heroes of war, and ultimately the one whose sacrifice secured our eternal freedom, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. During World War II, a young soldier wrote to his mother from the front lines. His words were both sobering and stirring. Let me quote them. "Stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." Powerful words. And this soldier understood something profound. Triumph requires sacrifice. His resolve was rooted in the belief that some things like freedom, peace, and the protection of loved ones are worth the ultimate cost. Each Remembrance Sunday, we honor such courage, knowing their sacrifice has gifted us a peace they never lived to see. But this letter also echoes the greatest story of sacrifice, the story of Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down his life for our eternal freedom. It reminds us that victory over sin and death came at an immeasurable cost. My dear friends, as we reflect on the theme of sacrifice, we also turn to the unity displayed here today. Two congregations from distinct traditions worshiping as one. It is a small but significant testimony to the power of shared purpose. Like the soldiers who fought side by side despite their differences, we are called to stand together in a world desperate for hope and truth. Yet unity is not easy, or is it? It is much simpler to stay in our comfortable corners. Presbyterians have their ways. Episcopalians have theirs. And merging them can feel like navigating a minefield. But Scripture reminds us that unity is not about uniformity. It is about shared mission. In John 17, Jesus prayed for all believers, saying, "That there may be one even as we are one," John 17, verse 22. This prayer was not just about getting along. It was a call to reflect the unity of the Trinity, a unity forged in love and mission. But let us dig deeper into the source of this unity. In Leviticus 16, we read about the Day of Atonement, when the high priest entered the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifices for the sins of the people. It was a solemn, sacred act performed year after year. But as Hebrews 9:24-28 explains, Jesus fulfilled and surpassed this ritual. He did not enter a copy of the heavenly sanctuary. He entered the real thing. And he did not offer the blood of bulls or goats. He offered his own. This ultimate act of atonement reconciled us to God once and for all. But it also did something more. It laid the foundation for our unity. If Christ's sacrifice has reconciled us to God, how much more should it reconcile us to one another? So what does this mean for us today? It means that unity is not just a nice idea. It is essential. Christ's sacrifice compels us to live out that unity, especially as we face the challenges of our time. Think about this with me. How can we as Presbyterians and Episcopalians unite in service? Perhaps it is through joint ministry, reaching out to the vulnerable in our community. Maybe it is through combined efforts in youth programs, showing the next generation what it means to live out their faith. Or maybe it is as simple and as profound as committing to pray for one another. The stakes are high. If we fail to unite, we dilute our witness. But if we embrace this shared mission, we become a living testimony of the gospel's transformative power. Now picture this. A community where the light of Christ shines so brightly that it draws others in. A church where divisions fade and the love of Christ is on full display. This vision is not a distant dream. It is within our reach if we choose to embrace the call to unity and sacrifice. Today, as we remember the soldiers who laid down their lives, let us also remember the one who laid down his life for the world. Their sacrifice and his call us to something greater. They call us to be a people of hope, a people of unity, a people who reflect Christ's love in every corner of our community. So, what is the challenge for us this morning? Rabbi Jonathan Sacks situates our thoughts into perspective by commenting that to each one of us falls the responsibility of remembering not just those who died, but why they died and why they were prepared to die. Sacks reminds us that remembrance is not just about looking back, it is about looking within. It is not only about honoring those who gave their lives, but about asking why they gave them. They died for something greater than themselves, for freedom, for justice. They died for peace and even for faith. Their sacrifices call out to us, challenging us to live lives that reflect those same values, lives that are worthy of the price they paid. But this is not a passive remembrance, it is a call to action. So I ask you today, what is God calling you to give? What sacrifice is he asking of you for the sake of his kingdom? It could be your time, your comfort, your resources, or maybe it is a deeper surrender of your heart. Whatever it is, know this. Every sacrifice we make is woven into the greater story of redemption. The prophet Isaiah speaks powerfully to this. He tells of one who bore our sins, our brokenness, our wandering. By his wounds we are healed. This is not just poetry, it is a promise. Christ's sacrifice wasn't the end of hope, it was the beginning. It was the dawn of a new peace, a healing that reaches into the deepest parts of our lives. And this healing is not just for us as individuals, it is for all of us together as a people of God. So yes, the road ahead may demand sacrifice, but we don't walk alone. Jesus has already gone before us. His love empowers us, his peace sustains us, and his victory assures us that every act of service, every gift we offer matters. It echoes into eternity. Let us go forward then, not in fear, but in hope. Let us embrace the challenge to reflect and to act. Let us live boldly, love deeply, and serve faithfully, knowing that each step we take brings us closer to a future where all things are made new. Together, we are part of God's great and beautiful story of redemption. And that is a hope worth holding on to. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of sacrifice, both human and divine. As we honor those who gave their lives for our freedom, may we also remember Christ's ultimate sacrifice. Unite us in your love and empower us to live out that unity in our shared mission. May our lives reflect your hope and light in a dark world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd, hymn number 14.
This morning, I would like you to open your eyes and look at this church. And in an open-eyed prayer, Lord, we give you thanks for the existence of this church, with its beauty, with its sanctity, with its leadership and with its fellowship, and for the church just down the way on the steps. For the same things, Lord, and today you bring us together. And as we are united in one cause, that is following where Jesus leads us, may we remember those who went before us to show a light upon our path as we go forward step by step. And Lord, to remember that in all we think and all we say and all we do, we are yours, and we commit ourselves to you and to the way of peace, that in the small town of ours, Newport, we may be a flag to show people the way, a light to people on their path, and to bring your gospel to all who have the ears who hear it. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Our next hymn, 704, I vow to thee my country. And serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and the desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.